Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Why would peaceful men like Gwyll and Frayn want to subject themselves to such hostile images?
My investigation has uncovered a rather disturbing side of Mari society. A black market, if you will, in which many of your citizens trade in illicit mental imagery. Gwyll is a very prominent figure in this underground, or was, until I brought him into custody.
Why would any of my people want to indulge in that kind of behavior?
Apparently, outlawing violent thought hasn't made it go away. All you've done is force people to share it in back alleys.
It seems you have a somewhat more serious problem than the random thoughts of a single alien.
Dan's ready to go.
I know.
You're ready to go.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I'm ready to go. So let's go.
Are you certain?
Let's go. Let's get to it, as they would say in the olden days. Let's start the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Help me.
The It's Got Star Trek podcast has started. Mm-hmm. This is the 223rd episode of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
That's ridiculous.
It is
ridiculous, isn't it?
This is the enough.
Beginning. The beginning of the podcast.
Enough.
That's a lot of episodes.
Yeah, we've done a whole bunch of episodes. It's wild.
We're unstoppable.
We are. And this week
we
will be discussing Voyagers season 4. Wait. why do I never get this properly? Okay. This week we will be discussing a season 4.
What are you trying to say?
Okay. Help me.
Okay, we're going to be discussing.
What's the issue here, Patrick?
We're going to be discussing.
Oh, man, it's going to be like that tonight,
no,
isn't it?
No.
I can already feel the frustration running at me from a distance.
No.
It's over the horizon. It's coming at me.
He didn't get his sillies out before.
I'm disturbingly evocative.
I'm not frustrated yet, but I can see it's happening already.
You're being too evocative too early in the program.
So if you know you're going to get frustrated, is that the same as being frustrated? Because, like, I know it's coming.
Preemptively frustrated.
Okay. We are going to be watching the episode.
We already watched it.
Okay. Oh, no.
Okay. No, Dan, you made me all giggly. You made me all giggly.
Now it's my fault.
No.
I'll take full responsibility.
Not your fault. It's just, you know, there's a series of events here, and you were very evocative.
That is unacceptable.
Made me especially giggly. We will be discussing random thoughts.
Are you certain?
Yes.
You don't say.
Which is an episode.
I think he does.
It's an episode of Star Trek Voyager.
Which episode is it?
It's the 10th episode of this.
Because, oh my God, what is going on with you? Are you sure it's the 10th episode? Because I've seen it listed as episode 9 as well.
Yeah, it's weird because if you do a Google search, it says episode 9, but Wikipedia, Memory Alpha, IMDb, they all agree it's episode 10.
But Paramount Plus does not agree because they say it's episode 9.
Streaming services agree. Well, some of the streaming services think it's 9. Some of them think it's 10.
Paramount Plus thinks it's 9.
It's a whole thing, yeah. But it's not a big deal.
Hey guys,
saying it's episode 10.
Why?
My Paramount Plus said it was episode 10.
No, it didn't. We have the same Paramount Plus.
He looks at it through Amazon, and I think you look at it directly on my
phone.
I don't know. Well, how is that? No, you're looking at Google.
I'm not looking at Paramount Plus, but what I was looking at. Watching it on Paramount Plus, and then I wrote it down in my notes that it was episode 10.
Well, I wrote down in my notes that Paramount Plus says it's episode 9. I wrote that specifically in my notes. So one of us is wrong.
Well,
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying one of
sometimes
us is wrong.
Sometimes the universe is like that.
I'm saying Paramount Plus is
maybe
sucks.
Something's going on.
It's some
there,
sort of
yeah.
bug in Paramount Plus that's sowing discord among old friends.
Just old.
So people. Much discord amongst such old friends.
Oh,
help me.
Okay.
Why do you think it was called Random Thoughts, guys? I want your opinion.
Are we already on that? Then we have like news and ups and some other stuff.
I think we
well, we're on the subject of the episode title.
Open them ups.
Why do they call it random thoughts?
I don't know. Why do you? Oh, because it's like because it's about random thoughts.
Yeah, but is random thoughts is that officially like a phrase that people say? It's not like a it's not like a phrase people.
That's
use.
So random.
Yeah,
thoughts.
But yeah, no, no, but I mean. I had random thoughts. It's
that's
not
so random.
I don't
thoughts.
Know. It's like it sounds like it should be a phrase, but it's not really a phrase.
What if it was random thoughts, but thoughts was spelled T H O T S? What if?
Why?
That would be on the red.
Why?
It would be on. It would be on the red. Okay.
What if?
Okay. I am not sure why it's called random thoughts.
But it's because they're about thoughts. They're having thoughts, and they have to read their mind. But why random?
I mean, they're not that random. They were
random.
They were.
That's why
induced for a specific.
That's
purposes.
Why the only reason it would make sense is if random thoughts was some kind of phrase people use all the time, and nobody really says random thoughts.
I don't know. Okay.
There's deep thoughts with Jack Handy.
There is that, or was.
I might be having some thoughts of my own.
Once. Sinister.
You don't say.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let's get through all the beginning bits of the show. So news 'em ups.
They're on the rad.
They are on the rad. Main news 'em up is Jesse is back.
Yay!
Last week he was remote.
I'm back in the same room as these folks.
Out of out of an abundance of caution, he had sequestered himself. Due to close contact.
Wonderful.
Turned out to be in abundance,
with ill people, but he turned out, everything was okay.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Everything worked out. So that's good.
How wonderfully tart.
And I found some, an interesting little thing on telepathy, which I'll discuss at the beginning of the second break.
You don't say.
Our second break fun-em-ups.
You're teasing it real early.
I'm teasing, just to keep people, because who knows how this first break will go? It might be a total shit show, and people might say, "You know what? I'm gonna turn this off."
No, they
of course
won't.
Not.
I'm not gonna give them a chance. But now that they've been teased with a fun 'em up coming at the beginning of the second break,
fun 'em up.
Well, fun 'em up related to telepathy. They'll stick around maybe at least for that. So we'll see.
It's impossible.
We do have a couple of follow 'em ups.
Wait, we have news 'em ups or fun 'em ups or follow 'em ups? Which is
the fun 'em
they can't all be on the rad, Patrick.
I would disagree. I would disagree. And I'm still not a fan of that slogan, but again, the audience.
I know.
The audience.
I can feel your cringe like from over here.
Support. Yeah, well, what are you going to do? You just got to kind of go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
The fun 'em up comes later.
Fun 'em up.
News 'em up is just that Jesse's back. Follow 'em up. First one. Last week, of course, we had the. A lovely call from Fraser.
Yes.
Who vocalized what many people have been requesting, which is a Patreon or some sort of other monetization thing for the It's Got Star Trek podcast. We're still working on that, but
and what is it they what is it they requested?
They requested a way to pay us money. And we're interested in doing that, but we're only interested in doing that if there's something we can provide, even if it's some token small thing. And we do have some ideas for what those token small things that we could produce.
Then you shall have it.
We can interview a real Star Trek star or something.
Well, we could do all sorts.
Yeah, that's presumptuous,
dude. You know what'd be awesome? It would be
Will Wheaton.
It would be so wonderful for us to do that and then put it behind the paywall, as opposed to using it to drive people to the podcast.
Right.
Like, no, you got to pay.
That'd be fucked up.
I will do that. Let's aim to have that as a
let's
goal.
Get Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton. Or...
You think Will Wheaton would do it?
I don't know. He's on Big Bang Theory.
I supposedly talked to him on AIM.
AOL Instant Messenger.
It's weird that it's AIM, but it's AOL Instant Messenger. It should be
Messenger.
AOLIM.
Are you talking about the aioli produced by Will I Am?
Whoa.
Wow.
What the fuck?
Mayonnaise.
You said AOLIM.
I'm sorry.
That's Dan pronounces it mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise. Aioli for that was fucking weird, man. That was weird.
By weird, do you mean it was super funny?
Yeah, that like made my mind go backwards.
Right. Well, that's what we.
That was clever, Patrick. I applaud you.
We aim to do.
No, what I was saying is, back when AOL Instant Messenger was a thing, I supposedly talked to him online because someone I know said that they were like, "Hey, his handle is out there. You can just message him." And so I messaged him. And apparently it was called TV's Will Wheaton. That was his handle, apparently. And so supposedly that was Will Wheaton. And I don't have any reason to not believe it, you know?
Well,
so.
There's a kismet to this.
Well, here's the thing. First of all, you're supposed to ask, well, what did you talk about?
I'm supposed to. Oh, is this the setup of some sort of joke?
No, it's not.
Okay, what did you talk about?
I don't remember. But
okay, so that was a setup for a joke, but not in the way I was thinking.
No, because everyone in the audience is probably like, well, what did you talk about? And I'm just letting you know, I don't remember. So we can put that one to bed.
Well, I was going to say that it is felicitous that you have remembered this at this stage in your life when you are, in fact, a host on a moderately popular Star Trek podcast.
So, moderately is a strong word.
It is. It's doing a lot of the heavy lifting. But you can talk to the audience, and there may be somebody in the audience who has the capability to determine whether or not
audience.
This TV's Will Wheaton was indeed a real
does anybody know
handle
about this?
Or whether it was some was it, fraudster.
Was it one of you all?
Oh, yes. Was it one of you? Were one of you listening, defrauding people into thinking that they were speaking with Wesley Crusher or Will Wheaton over the AOL Instant Messenger?
Well, I think it was him. Okay.
He gave me the creeps.
Well, regardless.
I'm just kidding. He didn't give me the creeps. He was very pleasant.
Okay.
I'm sure. Well, yeah.
We got to keep things moving along because we got a lot to discuss tonight.
But that is irrelevant.
Related to random thoughts. But we do have one other follow-up. We do. This is important. This is another follow-up from last week. And there's a clue.
I think we should stop going on for like 20 minutes before
we're
we start
not going
the
on for 20 minutes.
It's only been.
Don't worry about it. We're going to get through
10.
This real quick.
It's only okay. been 10.
We're going to get real quick. And it's a follow. Everyone's going to appreciate this, right? That's the clue. There's a follow-up.
Wait a second. A clue? Like a clue to...
It's a sound clue. What is this follow-up regarding?
Don't worry.
What is it regarding?
Do you know Don't what worry is, about it.
Do you know what it's regarding?
I know what that is.
What is it?
Jesse, do you know what it is?
No.
It's the... Oh.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles! Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles! Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles! Heroes in a half shell! Turtle power!
Yes.
I knew exactly what that was.
All right.
Of course you would. I wouldn't. Yeah. That's
all right.
I wouldn't know it.
I have
oh,
to.
Oh, wait. Oh, I see what this
I
is.
I have to admit that Dan was right.
You were giving me so much shit, too.
But not about this. He was right about a bunch of other stuff, but not about this.
What?
You were not correct about this. Last week, you brought up your belief that the line in the song, in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1987 opening theme song, the line regarding Raphael was that he was cool but crude.
Yes, and that's what it is.
Whereas I and others on the internet have argued that it is cool but rude.
That's incorrect.
Right, yes. You argue that that's incorrect. The bulk of the rest of the human population argues that it's cool but rude. So I found the song, and I recorded it. And so now let's listen to this is the important bit.
Splinter taught them to be ninja teens.
He's a radical rat.
What Splinter did.
Donatello does machines.
Yeah,
what
is Raphael?
Raphael is cool, but rude.
Crude.
No, cool, but rude.
Crude.
Cool, but rude.
Stop for a second. Thank you for playing that. I want to interject because it's my turn to defend myself. Thank you very much. I appreciate your...
Okay.
I typed in TMNT cartoon 1980s lyrics, and Google didn't even take me to a page. It just showed the lyrics to me, and it says, Raphael is cool but crude. I am looking at the lyrics source.
I'm listening to the fucking song.
I'm looking at the fucking lyrics. Oh, yeah, because nobody's ever gotten lyrics wrong before. When they listen to them. This is a source's music's match. Music's match. And it's
music's match.
Okay, yeah, we get it. I am looking at the official lyrics. Okay. It says Musics Match.
All right. Well, I was hoping to have resolved that particular discussion, but I guess I have yet to resolve it.
Well, I've resolved it already, like last week. So
we will leave it to the good and hearty judgment of our listeners.
They should look up different versions on the internet. I'm sure there's several copies of the lyrics.
I do think though we do need to hear just the last half of the song, unrelated to this argument, just because for kind of the psychic necessity of having to conclude the song.
Michelangelo is a party dude. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Turtle power.
Damn right. Okay. So that's all she wrote. That's all the news em ups and all that business. There's no mail em ups this week.
Here's something interesting.
Oh, shit.
That doesn't actually clarify anything, but it is interesting. According to turtlepedia.fandom.com. It says in Turtlepedia, it has the lyrics, and in the lyrics it says, Raphael is cool, but, and then it has parentheses C, and then R-U-D-E afterwards, meaning that it could be both.
They recognize the debate, is what you're saying.
Yeah, they recognize the debate. Oh, there's a star.
They're acknowledging the debate.
There's actually
an asterisk.
An asterisk. Yeah, that's what word I was looking for. This asterisk. Well, there's an asterisk, but there's no follow-up asterisk.
That happens a lot.
What the fuck? There's no follow-up asterisk.
I know. I've noticed that recently. You know, maybe that's one of those new things, one of those the dimensional things where like the corresponding text to asterisks is slowly being slurped out of our dimension. You know, like a Mandela effect type thing, Berenstain Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Anyway. Yeah.
It says, okay, there's a whole section that says crude or rude.
Okay.
Throughout the years, it has been disputed whether the theme song defines Raphael as cool but crude or cool but rude. The dispute stems from the fact that both terms have similar meanings, both can apply to the character, and multiple official sources using both terms. And then it goes on to talk about
more stuff. Except for the actual song itself.
Well, I hear crude, so I don't know what you mean by that.
All right.
Chuck Lorre's website says cool but rude.
Okay. Yeah, well, okay.
The lyric is clearly cool but crude in the cover used in the film Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows.
All right. Great. So that counts as being related to Star Trek because Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the cartoon, started in 1987, which was the same year as TNG.
Yeah.
Right? So there we go. Star Trek.
Star Trek.
Yeah, no mail em ups or voicemails this week.
Meal em ups.
If you would like to send us an old-fashioned email, you can email us at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. And if you would like to send us a newfangled voicemail message, you can send in an MP3 or whatever, or go to itsgotstartrek.com/record, which will permit you to record a message of up to 90 seconds in length.
Let me get this straight.
You can only record 90 seconds?
On that tool, yes. But you can listen back to it before you send it. You can cancel it, all that stuff. So feel free. Go have fun.
What the hell?
Well, that sounded exasperating.
random thoughts.
All right, we are 16 minutes in.
More than that because of the opening clip.
Shit. This guy's counting.
And the intro music.
But
it was an entertaining 16 minutes. Yeah. This is meant to be an entertaining podcast.
Yeah, but weren't you the one, Patrick, that said, like, people like to get to the business right away?
Yeah.
You used to say that.
Well, people like to be entertained. I mean, you know, they're not listening to us to, like, have their minds fucking blown about how, like, amazing Star Trek is or whatever. They already think
But
that.
Sometimes people are just like, I just want to get to the episode. Why are they, you know, taking so long to get to the episode?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I tend to agree
with
that.
Who are these people?
But what the episode is, that's the thing that can vary. That's the opinion. That's the subjective part of it. All right.
Well, this episode was pretty violent, actually.
It was about violence.
It was about violence. So not only does a dude get bashed over the head and bloodied, Tally gets stabbed, and there's blood everywhere.
Stabbed to death.
Okay, there's a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie called The Quest. It was one of those fighting movies.
I saw that
right?
movie in the theater.
Yeah, I did too. It was a pretty good movie. But here's the thing. They were talking about how it was PG-13. Usually his movies were rated R. And because it was PG-13, there was no blood. That's how they kept the PG-13 rating. Ah. So by that rationale, this episode is totally rated R. Because it's got blood in it.
Well, it was on like UPN.
I was wondering where you were going with that, but yeah, okay. I get it.
So Yeah, what do you think?
Well, I mean, Voyager gets like, remember we watched the Cold Fire episode with Kes burning Tuvix up? Tuvok?
Oh,
Jesus,
yeah.
Tuvok. But I was thinking of Tuvix because that's another sort of emotionally violent episode. Star Trek Voyager doesn't fuck around.
You don't understand the truth of violence. It's darkness. Yeah. It's power.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah, you're right. That was a fucked up scene.
Well, think about the...
But this just straight up had Tally in a pool of fucking blood.
You know, I'm agreeing with you. It's the whole concept of this episode is great. It's very similar in the one sense to that TNG episode, Justice. Remember when Wesley fell into a garden? Wesley, he broke a garden, and then they were going to put him to death?
He broke a garden.
All those, party people.
He did break a glass.
Yes. Why?
Did somebody also stab him in the ass?
I don't know what you're talking about here.
I know what he's talking about.
Yeah, you know, is this a song?
It's not
singing a song? I'm not familiar with this song.
He can break a glass. He can also stab you in the ass.
Is this a Wesley Willis
song?
Which song is it?
Is that the chicken cow?
Oh, maybe. You know what? That's the chicken cow. The chicken cow.
The chicken cow. The chicken cow.
Wesley Willis is great.
The chicken cow.
If you folks are not familiar with Wesley Willis.
Yeah, it says...
look him up.
This beast killed as many as 100,000 people. Its wings can flap like a bird. It can break a glass. It can also stab you in the ass.
Okay,
the chicken cow. I think that was the first.
I'm remembering it a little bit better now.
It was either this or Suck a Cheetah's Dick was the first song I heard by Wesley Willis.
I'm most familiar. Yeah, but the first one I heard was.
Vampire Bat. No,
the first song I heard from Wesley
Willis.
Vampire
Bat!
Yeah, I know.
Was Suck a Cheetah's Dick. And then the second one was Rock and Roll McDonald's.
Rock and Roll McDonald's.
And then Batman Whooped My Ass.
No, it's like I whooped Batman's ass. And
I
then
whooped Batman's
but
ass.
But there was also Batman, someone whooped his
Superman
ass.
Superman beat my ass. No, I forget. Yeah, yes. You're right. Yeah, I whooped Batman's ass. Superman did super.
He was running me amok.
he was an asshole in the first place.
Hey, Wesley Willis.
That could be a different podcast.
He left the earth too soon.
Fascinating.
It is fascinating.
Too many headbutts.
Okay. So this thing, again, superficial similarities with that episode of TNG Justice, except in that episode, the whole episode was about this philosophical question of whether or not it is appropriate to follow the local laws, no matter how ridiculous they might be.
Duly warned.
And they went to the extreme, and it's a very sort of simple and straightforward story. This story, I think, is much more complex and interesting and layered than Justice. At the same time, it's not quite as direct in terms of the whatever philosophical point they're trying to make. It's not 100% clear.
I enjoyed this episode. I thought this was a good episode.
Oh, I did too.
And it was a great Tuvok episode.
Yeah.
And Tuvok is
pretty tight. Yeah.
Tuvok is a great Vulcan.
He's the best Vulcan.
Yeah, he's the best
Vulcan.
Yeah, he's great. And he was kicking ass with his investigatory skills.
He's always kicking ass, that guy.
Yeah. And then he was getting all super fucking intense, and he was like,
"This will allow you to see the deepest recesses of my mind."
Mind.
Yeah, man, look out.
And he did two mind melds.
He wasn't ready for that.
Interesting, he did two mind melds. One was like this.
Your mind to my mind.
Yeah.
Your thoughts to my thoughts.
Now hear the difference in this second one he did.
My mind. To your mind.
To your mind.
My thoughts. Yeah. To your thoughts.
He was mind raping that person.
So first one was your mind to my mind. The second one was my mind to your mind.
Yeah, because he was jumping into that dude's head because he was mind raping him like Spock did with Star Trek VI.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, so when he said your mind to my mind to your mind, that was when he was getting stuff from B'Elanna. When he said my mind to your mind to my mind, that was when he was giving stuff to... Gwil.
Jesse.
What'd you say, Jesse? You went
Jesse,
like, my mind. What'd you say, Jesse?
Jesse.
What'd you say?
We could listen to him do that all day, couldn't we?
Your mind to my mind was when B'Elanna.
My mind.
It's and like, then it was my mind
like
to your
doing
mind.
Like a solo who's on first.
I know.
But for the modern
What's
age.
What's that supposed to mean?
You know what it means.
Your mind to my mind to your mind. He did it backwards because one time he was taking, the other time he was giving.
Yeah. I had not observed that while watching the episode. You have illuminated
totally
a very subtle but important thing.
This guy knows Vulcans.
A bit of lore about how mind melds work. Mind
this
melds.
Guy knows Vulcans.
My mind work.
Why does that sound so horrible at the beginning? Is that when Neelix is biting into the sour melon?
Oh, how wonderfully tart.
Yeah. Did you notice, like, he just ate that without paying for it. She just gave it to him, and he just, like, helped himself to that fruit.
Yeah, because he's fucking Neelix, and he's a piece of shit.
Space creep.
Yeah, but
he's creepy, and he's all stinky now. He's, like, he's creepy Neelix, yeah. But now he's creepy, stinky Neelix.
Because
he put all that cologne on.
Right.
And Tom Paris was like, what the fuck is wrong with you, man?
Talchuk Musk. It certainly is musky.
Yeah.
Musky.
Are you wearing cologne?
Talchuk?
Talchuk.
Talchuk.
Talchuk Musk.
Is that some sort of hairy beast? Some sort of hairy Neelix beast? Talaxian beast?
Why do you want
beast?
Me to tug on your
Talaxian
whiskers?
Talaxian ball sweat.
Okay. What was that, Jesse?
I'm not going to say it again.
Jesse said Talaxian ball sweat. Why did he say it? No one knows.
Well,
that was what he was wearing.
Neelix, but you got to hand it to Neelix. He can, like, pretty much hook up with whoever he wants to.
Somehow.
Kes left the show not long before this, mm-hmm. right? He's already cool. They'd already broken up and stuff,
all the women seem to love Neelix somehow.
Yeah, maybe
she was tugging on his whiskers.
He's got something. You know,
why do you want me to tug on your whiskers?
Good personality.
And check it out. Afterwards, after she died, he was like,
she was a wonderful young woman.
Yeah. So is Kes. He's into the wonderful young women.
That actor was on Seinfeld. She played one of George's girlfriends.
Oh, that's where I recognized her from.
The Little Kicks episode.
Rebecca McFarland.
Yeah.
Okay.
Her name is as Tally.
McFarland. Neelix didn't seem that bummed out when she died. He was more incredulous. He was just kind of like, what the fuck happened?
I can't believe she's dead.
Yeah, right. It was funny.
It's because maybe she already tugged in on his whiskers. I don't know if he ever have it, because the thing is that they filmed it differently between his dream sequence and, you know what I'm saying? There was like a slightly, like with the dream, you know, with the remembering thoughts mm-hmm. thing, it was like something that didn't happen is what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, the dream.
When it was something that happened, it was all dreamy. When it was something he was imagining, mm-hmm. it was a different filter put on it. And so when she was tugging his whiskers, I diddidn't get the impression she had already actually tugged his whiskers. That was the thought he was having that she had seen.
When he was thinking about baking a pie, he's like, I was thinking about baking a
pie. Oh, yeah. Does tart fruit make for good preserves? Is that the thing?
Yeah, because you add sugar to it.
Yeah.
You boil up the fruit with sugar.
That clip of her, like, quote unquote tugging his whiskers, because she wasn't really tugging them, she was just kind of fondling them.
Yeah.
That was really weird.
I know.
That was really weird. And what was also weird, so that didn't happen.
She was into it. That was what was weird.
Well, that
in his mind, but then afterwards she was into trying it out later.
Yeah.
But so that
I don't know if they ever got around.
So
to it.
When they did the
fights,
when they were doing they weren't doing the engrammatic purge yet. They were studying their brain.
Beard blocked.
So first of all,
fight.
They're telepaths, but they still need a machine in order to read people's mind. Maybe just
that was to record. She said she didn't say record, so she could reference
so
back
when
later.
When they were looking in their mind, like when we saw the tugging action, that didn't actually happen, but we were shown as if like that was in his mind.
Yeah.
But then they showed Janeway fondling the currency. By the way, Oh wait, let me finish my thought first.
Give that a try this week.
Okay, the thing is, whereas the Neelix memory of her tugging on the whiskers didn't actually happen, there was a scene of her like fondling the currency. So one of those memories was false, and
they had the more golden hue color when it was something that happened that was just a memory, and then they had a more washed out pastel-y feel when it was something that was supposed to be imagined.
They had two flashbacks, one of Janeway fondling currency and one with Neelix getting his whiskers
tucked. No, it wasn't before that. It was a memory of Tali just putting fruit on a shelf, super sexily putting fruit on a shelf.
Like, but there was,
and then within that flashback, there was the sub flashback of Neelix imagining himself.
Okay, but there was also Janeway a flashback of Janeway like fondling.
Dan's doing something with his fingers. That's making me
there was also
very uncomfortable.
There was also a flashback of Janeway fondling the currency.
That was separate, but that was a real thing.
That was a real thing that happened,
and it was hilarious because Mulgrew, her acting, she was being all like,
I know, I know, it was ridiculous. She had some really silly like moments
She's always
so
great.
But anyway, the tugging whiskers was silly. Her fondling the currency was silly. At the very end, like when Seven of Nine walks away, she's like drinking her cup. At the end, she all puts her eyes. She's like, who? And then she puts it down. She's like, dismissed, and gives him like weird smile. Yeah, exactly.
About the whisker thing. Perfect. About the whisker thing, I was thinking.
Perfect.
You know how you got your Ferengi, and they like their umaks.
Right. Yeah.
And the umaks is when somebody who they're attracted to gently massages their ears.
Yes.
And it's meant to be
good.
Slightly off-putting and sort of ridiculous and all that. I found this beard tugging thing, it grossed me out way more.
Yeah, it grossed me out.
And I don't know
too.
Why, because I've always been, you know, the umak stuff is like, ew,
yeah.
For me, it was just weird because she wasn't actually, like I said, she wasn't even really tugging. She was just kind of going up and down, and it just looked fucking
kind
weird.
Kind of flapping them.
Yeah, it grossed me out too. Now, do you think, is it the concept of tugging whiskers grosses you out, or how they displayed it?
No, it was purely in the execution.
Yeah, right.
Right? Mm-hmm. I can conceptually understand potential erogenous capacity for, you know, with the tugging on some sort of beard hair.
Probably couldn't tug too hard because the, you know, it's all costume and
that's
makeup
true.
And you might pull them things off.
Jesse always pulling in the practical reality.
It's hard to.
She was a wonderful young woman.
I'm sure it was hard to act. Yeah. You got to take, you know, certain kind of classes on how to
properly
tug,
tug
on whiskers.
Creepy stinky Helix.
But on the subject of currency, so Namir was all talking about how, like, they had the brig and it was all barbaric that they hold people. But man, I think, like, who are they to talk? They have fucking dirty ass currency.
Right. Like,
goofy ass coins.
Yeah, like, I mean, if you're gonna talk about putting someone in jail as barbaric, then having dirty ass coins.
They can record
hard currency and lobotomies. Like,
they can record people's memories, but they don't have like imaginary money, like digital money.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's a good point.
It's kind of hilarious.
They should have
got warp drive and transporters and all that other jazz. They're perfectly advanced people
and
relative to the Star Trek business.
And she was all talking about how they when she had an enlightened, what was it? They have an enlightened penal
system.
Yeah, they had a
enlightened penal system with lobotomies.
Yeah.
We have an enlightened penal system here.
And so, yeah, so the brig is not enlightened, but yeah, somehow, like, giving people lobotomies and sucking out their brains is totally, like, yeah. And they were like, and Janeway's like, that's dangerous. She's like, yeah, sometimes shit goes down.
We're dangerous. do you have that thing that we're dangerous from Detained? All right, how about you?
Okay, I think it's time for a break.
It's time for a break, according to Isaac from Unplanned Trek.
That
so
guy gets us every
Dan's
time.
Dan's going to look up the Weird Dangerous sound clip from Detained, because that's a funny one to have handy. And when we cut back from the break, we will continue our discussion of random thoughts, including an interesting little thing I found on the internet related to telepathy in a similar frame to this episode. All right, we will be right back. All right, we have returned.
We're dangerous.
Sorry, I was listening back to that one the other day, and I was just laughing at that. We're dangerous. Very funny.
We're dangerous.
Well, I was saying also about Namira. Like, Namira had, like, a fucking attitude this whole episode.
What was her title? It wasn't. It was not constable. She was part of the constabulary, but her title. She was her title was like chief. Erotic something.
Chief erotic.
That actor played one of those Klingon sisters.
Lursa and Bator?
Yeah, I think she's Bator.
I'm one of the last officers still working for the constabulary.
The constabulary.
It's
barbaric.
It's somewhere in
barbaric.
There.
The constabulary.
The constabulary. Barbaric. Barbaric. The constabulary. Barbaric.
That's good.
Barbaric. Barbaric. The constabulary. Barbaric. 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 Constabulary.
So her whole, like, tone this whole fucking episode was like, so there was this one.
We have an enlightened penal system here.
And then she's like,
the records also say he was cured.
He was cured. And then she goes,
that's necessary for a race of telepaths.
She's like, it's necessary for a race of telepaths.
Mm-hmm. That's necessary for a race of telepaths. The records also say he was cured.
The records also say he was cured. She was being like real pompous this whole
shady,
episode.
Shady, man.
You're saying I'm shady?
No, her approach, you know.
Oh,
she's covering something.
That does appear to be one of the sub points of this episode is the, I don't know, hypocrisy is not quite the right word, but the arrogance that this group of people has that's embodied by Namira as the basic representative of how we interact with this culture of people, and that they're just like, oh yeah, we just get rid of violent thoughts and it's not a problem.
Yeah.
And Tuvok was even like, first of all, did Tuvok and her have a thing going? Because he was
was an undeveloped part of this plot.
Yeah,
because there was an indication. Tuvok was basically like, I'm down to clown.
Yeah, he was like saying, I enjoyed my time with you, and basically, but
he was like, just listen to my ideas. I'm down to clown, but you know.
He was saying she was a great investigator, but like, she was a terrible investigator. She didn't even bother searching her own citizens because she just assumed they were innocent. Like, the guy involved in the crime, like, she didn't decide to investigate the people actually performing the crime. I understand this the idea they had where it's like, well, it's about the violent thoughts that caused the problem. But you still got to investigate everyone involved. And her answer was like, oh, that almost never happens, you know. And there was the part about the he said he was a habitual. What was the line? It was Tuvok said about Frayne.
Frayne was the guy who did the fighting.
Yeah, he said, according to your security records, he was arrested on 4 previous occasions for harboring violent thoughts. You classified him as a habitual perpetrator of hostile images.
Perpetrator.
And she goes, true, but those thoughts were purged each time. He spent years in neurogenetic restructuring, and the records also say he was cured. So
he had the brain scrambled.
So she didn't even bother to check him, even though he kept breaking the hostile thoughts law. Her logic was that, like, oh, his brain was purged each time. But it happened 4 times. What's to say it couldn't have happened a 5th time?
Well, it's a classic...
She said there's virtually no crime in our society. Yeah. Therefore, it's not worth investigating anyone because there's virtually no crime. It's like, well, that virtually means there's some crime. And so it doesn't hurt to investigate your own fucking citizens.
Yeah,
so the problem is, yeah, I see what you're saying where it's her arrogance and all that. But the inconsistency here is Tuvok is all defending her and saying she's a great investigator, but she was blatantly...
He's certainly at the very least trying to butter her up and get her to consider his argument by appealing to her presumed whatever, something related to her job being important to her, whatever.
She clearly is a very skilled investigator.
Yeah. They've already spent a lot of time with these people on this planet. Like, this is like the least gross face of any of the Delta Quadrant aliens so far. It's like they really like these people. They're not weird looking at all.
And it's kind of funny.
We're going to score with some.
It's a good point that they were just like, let's put them in goofy costumes.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do. We'll give them real shoulder pads.
Puritanical telepaths.
Look, she's got
the habitual perpetrator of hostile images.
She has the basic. Namira has
We're dangerous.
Namira has the standard. Delusion, self-constructed delusion, in order to maintain the society that they believe is the right way to run society. Now, they've set up their society in a certain way. They have to ignore the data in order to keep believing in that society.
I would never ignore data. He's always so cool to listen to.
I know, right? But you get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, this is nothing new. People do it. We, unfortunately, this is a big problem in the world. And I think that that's, if there's a few different sort of disparate themes here, and I think one of the themes they're getting at is sort of highlighting that does not do you any good. It doesn't do your society any good to purposefully ignore something that's wrong with the setup of society.
Right. Well, I think Tuvok, when because like he said, she's a good investigator. You're right. He was buttering her up, I guess, to be in good with her. But he said at one point, he was like, I'm not judging your culture. In fact, I admire it. I've enjoyed your company in particular. So like we said, I think he's biased because, you know, his Vulcanism sort of broke down a little bit, because I think he's biased because he's got a crush on her, and he's just giving her the benefit of the doubt. That's what I think. Because that's my problem is with Tuvok, like, or maybe he was just doing it to try to get in better with her so he could properly investigate.
And again, maybe he was just like, thought she was hot and just trying to hang out with her, because he definitely seemed to be into her.
Yeah.
It was kind of interesting that they threw in that line that had that clear implication of
it was weird.
Of a potential romance when there wasn't really much else in the story to carry that. Other than to say, hey, it didn't hurt to have, it's nice to see that Tuvok, you know, who knows, maybe he had some interest in that, I don't know.
There was another line where she seemed like, you know, being all like, arrogant and cocky. She when she goes, I guess she at one point she goes, I guess you could say I'm becoming obsolete. And Tuvok's like, in what sense? And she goes, there's virtually no crime left in our society. It's like, yeah, I'm so upset and distressed.
This Fane guy that no, we have to keep purging. His
I know, right? Yeah, I know, right? We're just such an amazing society that we don't even need me anymore. What will I do?
All right. Well, this is a good time to get along, get moving along home to our second break. Fun 'em up.
Then you shall have it.
Then, because this episode, right? The whole setup is that people with telepathy can be negatively affected by accidentally or purposefully obtaining thoughts from somebody else. In this case, it's B'Elanna Torres gets mixed up in all this nonsense because she had a violent thought and that infected other people. Now, it that did happen. It's just that it happened in a different way.
B'Elanna's on it.
It happened in a different way than the inspector originally thought, in a much more interesting way, which Tuvok was able to uncover with this whole concept of the illicit trade in scary memories and thoughts. Right. But it still happened, this whole idea of telepathic thoughts infecting those people around them, right? So I did some looking around, and this is not a new idea. This is something written, I think, I don't know, it may have been quite some time ago. It's hard to tell exactly, but it's called Problems with Telepathic Sensitivity by Ken Meller.
My foot hurt.
Ken says, have you ever had an inexplicable surge of feeling? Have you ever had thoughts that seem alien to you?
No.
And what about impulses? Have you ever had impulses to do something that you would normally feel quite reluctant or completely opposed to doing? Do you ever have inexplicable aches or pains?
Wait.
If you do not, have you worked with somebody who has?
Do you have feelings?
Or do you know someone who does? And how do you explain these things? He goes on to say,
did you have a bad day yesterday?
I think that telepathy provides the simplest explanation.
Wait, who is this
in
author?
In many situations.
Telepathy is always the simplest
this
explanation.
This is Ken Meller. It's an essay by Ken Meller. I'm only going to read a couple highlights. This is a long essay. Have the link in the
Who's
show description.
Who's Ken Miller?
Not Miller, Mellor.
Mellor.
Who's Ken Mellor?
I don't
know. Some sort of bozo.
Where did you find this?
Okay, I'll get to that in a second. Okay. I'll tell you what the origin of this is in a second. Let me just read on a little bit more. So as I said, he said,
Smellow.
I think that telepathy provides the simplest explanation in many situations.
Telepathy.
I have worked with a number of people who were put into hospital by well-meaning psychiatrists for symptoms which were the complete explicable result of telepathic sensitivity.
Telepaths.
People who were evidencing no other symptoms. In the last few years, I have created a model that helps me understand some of what seems to be taking place in telepathic experiences.
Your telepathic abilities are strong.
I have included four aspects of this model. My goal in doing so is to provide you with four labels to support the process of developing a vocabulary.
Show
the subject.
Me.
They are, the four categories are sympathetic responses, sending, demanding, and the safety valve effect. Many people have problems with communication. Oh, by the way, I'm skipping over the part where he goes into detail about each of these four categories, extensive detail about exactly what they mean.
Telepathy.
And then he concludes by saying, many people have problems with communication, with managing their thoughts, feelings, impulses, and the like when they are with others. It is helpful for many of these people to know that what they are experiencing may not be theirs alone, but that it may have been originated in another person.
Oh, because everybody's a human?
This does not relieve them of the responsibility of having to deal with it themselves, but it does help them understand what is happening,
so,
where before they may have only had an intuitive idea at best.
So wait, right there he's saying that the Mari have no excuse. The violence in that happened on the Mari planet was the Mari's fault. It wasn't B'Elanna's fault, because he's saying even though you're affected by telepathy, you still are responsible
That's part of what I found interesting. So first of all, it's kind of amusing. Sure. It's a similar concept, right? He's talking about this idea that other people, that the problems that people face that are sometimes referred to as psychological problems, he's arguing that it's your sensitivity to other people's thoughts that's confusing you, right? That's, you know, it's nonsense, I think, but it's clever. I give it that. And it does bear some relationship to what we're discussing in this episode. But I did find that last little bit there where he does sort of implicitly, well, he explicitly states that just because somebody's having these influences does not mean that they're not responsible for what they've done.
Interesting. So where did you find this?
I found this on the internet.
On the internet.
Were we just looking up telepathy essays?
I forget exactly what the search term I used was. But it was this at the bottom of the essay. It says produced by the Awakening Network Incorporated.
Oh, okay. PO Awakening
Box
Network.
PO Box 271, Seymour, Victoria, 3661, Australia.
Oh, that's Australia.
Telephone plus 613-5799-1198. International facsimile plus 613-5799-1132. Email contact at awakeningw.net.
I don't know.
Victoria has the same abbreviation as Virginia, doesn't it?
Website http://www.awakeningnetwork.net. Now,
he gave me the creeps.
What I find interesting about this is that their email is contact at awakenw.net, but their website is awakeningnetwork.net, and they're called the Awakening Network.
So wait a minute.
Shouldn't it be contact at awakeningnetwork.net? Anyway, I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to yell at people for that, but I'll have the link so people can read the thing in its entirety.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So that is... That's the argument for the existence of telepathy, but against the idea that you are responsible, that you are responsible for telepathically imbuing actions into people.
Yes.
Well, there you have it, folks.
I guess. Yeah.
That's
Ken Mellar.
Ken Mellar.
Well, you know, that's what his opinion of it is.
Mm-hmm. Mellar.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what his opinion of this episode would be if he were to give
we
it.
We should ask.
He might question whether or not these alien fruits looked particularly alien.
They were water plums.
They just looked like water plums. Like dragon fruit and a couple other things. They just got some.
There was a horned melon.
There was a horned melon. They just got a...
Oh, how wonderfully tart.
Couple of regular fruits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Back to what you were saying about how the weird that they decided to include the part about Tuvok and his love affair with Nimira, implied love affair. There was another part where I think they could have, like, there was a part that was kind of questionable that I don't know they really needed to put in the episode, was the part where with Paris, the whole thing with Paris, like, I just didn't see that going anywhere. Like, where
you mean Paris being concerned about B'Elanna?
Yeah, like, we already know that Paris, you know, is all into B'Elanna.
And they sort of dropped that story thread because it was all like, Paris, you develop a plan to rescue B'Elanna. But then it turned out that Janeway didn't appear to be like doing anything to, you know, related to that.
Yeah, because he was all like,
they're a bunch of pacifists. They're no match for us.
Which I thought was a pretty funny line. But, yeah. But there was the scene where Paris met up with Chakotay to talk about breaking B'Elanna out.
Yeah.
And then that like just didn't go anywhere. And because Chakotay was like, well, Janeway's going to try some shit first. Right. And then that's when Paris was talking about that their pacifists will kick their ass. They made it. And it's weird. There was another weird part. They made a point of Paris being reluctant to sit in Janeway's chair for some reason.
Because it was the captain's chair.
Yeah, but why didn't they just stand talking up? Like, why did they even introduce that whole concept? Like, why didn't you just walk up and they have the conversation? Why was Chakotay all like, you can sit in the chair if you want to? Like, they could have just stood and talked like normal. But the only thing I can think, it was so they could end the scene with Chakotay saying, Tom, I may have let you sit in the captain's chair, but remember, she's still the boss.
Yeah.
Like what was the... But the, I, man, I was what very was even confused the fucking point of that line, too?
I was very... Actually, I have that in my notes that Chakotay is all like, yeah, she's the boss. And I was like, at what point did Tom Paris suggest that was not the case?
Yeah, right. Yeah. There was one part where he kind of talked back to her. He was like, when she was talking with Nimira when they were about to do the engrammatic purge on B'Elanna, and Paris was just basically like, oh, you can't let him do that, Janeway. Where he was, I guess you could say like he shouldn't have talked at a turn, but it's Star Trek. It's Star Trek.
What are you going to do?
So I didn't see any indication of him like questioning her shit. And I don't know. That was a weird scene. I think they could have replaced that scene with a little bit more about Nimira. And like her motivations and her reason, like just more behind like her motivations for being a terrible investigator, like why she was the way she was.
I guess part of the problem is that Tom Paris, because at this stage in Voyager, he has this relationship with B'Elanna, a romantic relationship. I suppose her
B'Elanna's on it.
You know what happens when they when B'Elanna no. and Paris have sex?
No. Right,
B'Elanna's on it.
Right. Oh no.
I get
I made a dirty joke.
Yeah, it was pretty it was very blue.
Where would I stay?
Hologram. I think that there is a logic to the idea that if we were to see an episode in which B'Elanna was in trouble and Tom Paris did not play some role in arguing on her behalf, people would be like, "Well, what the fuck?"
Yeah, I guess that's right. But it just didn't go.
Well, they didn't finish it. They didn't have like a scene with him and Janeway, and Janeway being like, "Let me explain why the why we have to do this." It was just the show.
Are you saying it's a crime to think about violence?
Janeway clearly disagreed with the law, with the situation. At the same time, she wasn't even questioned. It wasn't even like a debate. Like in Justice, there was the whole like, oh, well, should we follow the rules or not? It's like Janeway's like, well, no, of course we have to follow the rules, and we could lose our chief engineer and head of security. And that's what gets to the whole thing that Seven of Nine was talking about. And I love early Seven of Nine, because Seven of Nine at this stage is so fucking direct.
Yeah.
And the best part is in both her conversations with Janeway and
with her thoughts
and with and with Neelix and B'Elanna, like in all those cases I was like, you're right,
yeah,
she's totally right.
Yeah,
then we are in disagreement, right? That is unacceptable, like, but that is irrelevant.
Just head home and don't stop to talk to anybody. You'll get home quicker.
Yeah.
And I was surprised where she was talking about how like assimilation was the perfect method of like getting to know people. Like she's all defending the Borg. Like,
yeah, well she's still in the
She's still
full of nanites,
she,
man.
and then Neelix is all like
perfect.
Perfect.
That was perfect.
Flawless victory. Flawless victory.
That was perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect. That was perfect. Yeah. Perfect.
I just love that. I listened to it so many times.
It's amazing. I remember the arcade game came out too. That was fucking awesome.
Yeah. TMNT.
There was a weird thing with that show where they ran the episodes out of order. There was a whole thing in the first season.
Well, the first five episodes are basically a little mini TV movie.
Right, exactly. But they played them out of order. Then went on like production. Like they aired them in a different order. There's a whole thing about it. And I remember because I rented a VHS cassette back
because,
in the day.
Because the Reagan administration wanted to drive the children mad.
I rented a VHS tape with
crazy children.
I rented a VHS tape and I don't remember the order they were in, but I remember like watching the episodes. I was like, wait, this seems like it was supposed to follow up to that episode, but that episode happened like three episodes.
Even on the VHS tapes, it was out of order.
Yeah, it was out of order. And like the mini movie part was like,
you know who was out of order? The person who put together those VHS tapes.
You know, the whole damn system was out of order.
It was.
I'm going to look this up real quick. 1980s cartoon, out of order, first
out
season.
Of control. You know, Dave Coulier. Cut it out.
Yeah, right.
All right.
Right.
You can't do that on television.
That was a different show.
I don't know.
Okay, here it is on TM. This is on
Slime, bloop, 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 slurps, slurp, slurp, gloop,
that
gloop.
Was the show with Alanis
this
Morris.
Slurp, slurp, gloop, gloop.
This is from tmntentity.blogspot.
Why do you keep finding this weird shit?
I don't know.
TMNTTNG?
It said
Turtlepedia.
Turtle penis. It says the 1987 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon, the one produced by
that one.
The one produced by Fred Wolf had a strange broadcast history. Some of it aired on CBS Saturday morning. Some of it aired in syndication on weekday afternoons. Some of it aired on the USA Network on weekday mornings. And some of it even got the prime time special treatment. As a result, the episodes were badly jumbled up from what their narrative chronologically should have been. So there you go. It had to do with the being on different networks, I guess.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
That is weird. Anyways, we're learning about a lot about TMNT, Patrick.
Does the USA Network doesn't exist anymore, does it?
I don't think so.
No, the TNN Network became Spike.
No, but the USA Network.
Yeah, I know.
I remember TNN.
USA.
I wasn't talking about TNN.
I know, that's what I was going to say. What I was originally going to say is it became Spike, but then I was like, oh no, that was the TNN.
Oh, I see.
TNN.
Your brain worked faster than me.
I don't know.
Help me.
So we could,
I will not help you.
There's hardly any Harry Kim in this episode. He had one line.
Oh, man.
It was like, there's Harry Kim, and then there was nothing.
Basically no Harry Kim.
Come on.
Do we want
pretty much everybody. You get the doc. You get the doctor at the end.
There's, yeah, a little bit of doc.
Duly warned.
Also underutilized.
Do we want to talk about this creep, Gwill? This guy was a total creep.
Gwill?
Yeah, man.
Gwill the creep.
Oh, I know.
Gwill was played by Wayne...
Wayne Perrin. Hello, my name is Wayne Perrin. I play the character Gwill in Star Trek
Voyager.
Apparently,
he's from Canada.
I don't know where he's from.
Apparently,
but he's creepy.
Apparently, he was played the therapist on Westworld.
The rapist?
No.
The rapist?
I'm not falling for that. I guess I already did fall for that.
Oh, I did not know. I did not know he played that.
You must have read my mind. I really can't be late for the table. My children get upset when I'm late for supper. Why should I trust you? Maybe we can be of use to each other. Maybe I could help you. I have something exciting for you tonight. Show me. Show me. If I'm right, I'll have thoughts to share that are darker than anything you could imagine. Dark impulses. Your telepathic abilities are strong. I'm surprised you're so easily tired.
Just a Delta Quadrant lightweight.
Don't trouble yourself. I never meant that to happen.
She
seemed like such a pleasant young woman.
This one's the woman. Yeah, wait.
She was a wonderful young woman. She seemed like such a pleasant young woman. You're holding back.
Creepy.
Listen, these are the breathy ones.
She seemed like such a pleasant young woman.
Wait a sec.
She seemed like such a pleasant young woman. You're holding back. Yes. Good.
Good.
This is the side of you I wanted to know.
I like it.
Yes. Good. This is the side of you I wanted to know. Yes. Good. You're holding back.
I like it.
She seemed like such a pleasant young woman. This is the side of you I wanted to know. Yes.
This guy needs an incremental purge.
I was just thinking. I'm sure you do. No, please. How would we do that? Any other questions?
All of his lines were delivered like so monotone. Except of course for these.
Yes. Good. This is the side of you I wanted to know. Yes. Good. She seemed like such a pleasant young woman. You're holding back.
There's something about this real fella that's really captivated you, Dan.
Yeah, I was obsessed with him, kind of.
But it's like, he's like,
apparently,
he's like one of those guys that turns out to be creepy, that the first time you see him, he's just like super smiley and friendly and hey, and then like...
You must have read my mind.
As it goes on, and like even as like Tuvok is investigating him, it's all super like classic mystery, like this guy's up to something.
I think...
Right away, you can tell this guy is shady.
Yeah.
I think that this is a very good episode. I think it's very well written. I think there's all sorts of clever stuff they put in there, even in the acting. There are a couple of little things, and I think what you're talking about, Jesse, is one thing that I thought that maybe they couldn't, maybe they didn't just figure out how they wanted to do it, and so it came off a little weird. Because I agree that when you first see the Gwill guy, he's just like a shop merchant, whatever. You're like, okay, whatever. There's just this guy.
Right. You must have read my mind.
And then later,
it's a friendly planet.
And then later, B'Elanna is all like, oh, that guy creeped me the fuck out.
This is the side of you I wanted to know.
I kind of wish they'd made him a little bit more creepy, like because like you were saying he was creepy right away, but I kind of think like the first
right away he was super smiling, friendly,
he's a little smiling,
and then later he gets creepy. But
I don't know. I think
I've seen that before on TV. And
I think it would have been interesting to like give us the clue that he was up to something, and it was just like we don't know what. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it's fine.
And
he wasn't
a very good criminal. Like, first of all, he didn't put much effort into covering his tracks. Like, when Tuvok...
You mean like being paid with chests of coins? Because they didn't even invent fucking dollar bills yet? He just has a chest. He has an ornate...
Doubloons.
An ornate chest filled with fucking coins. And he's like, yes, give me the drug money and I'll give you the drugs.
Yeah, so Tuvok was talking to him, and then like he turns around and leaves, and then Tuvok immediately follows him. Yeah. Like doesn't even wait 2 seconds, and so he doesn't like he's like just lets Tuvok follow him, and so Tuvok was just interrogating him basically, and then Gwill was like, well, why are you following us? And then like after Tuvok clearly is interrogating him. Tuvok's like, oh, I want some of your scary memories. Yeah. And then he's just like, oh, well, in that case, sure. You know, he immediately, like, after being interrogated, buys into the fact that Tuvok is not trying to, like, go undercover.
Yeah,
he's
right?
He's immediately like, yeah, yeah. Like, a good criminal should be able to recognize such an obvious undercover ploy.
Here's the deal.
But Tuvok was just like, you should trust me because we're the same. And he's like, okay.
No, I think that's well observed.
Or do you think he's such an addict that he can't help it?
Yeah, exactly. I think he's well observed, but I think this is a case of the dealer getting high on his own supply.
Mm.
And that's there's a reason you don't get high on your own supply, children, because you it will fuck up your business acumen.
Yeah.
So what you do is you sell one drug to do another drug. Traditionally, that works much better.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like these
don't
dudes
do
are,
the drug you're selling.
These people are getting off on having these violent thoughts, but it's like they don't really know real violence. They have this funny violence where like violence is this forbidden thing and this little teasy tastes of violence, and that's what's really getting me off. But like you haven't seen what Tuvok's seen.
Yeah.
But, they just weren't, and you know, it was just they don't know violence.
You can also use your imagination, and I thought that was part of the clever thing is that it wasn't just memories. It was also like people like Tuvok can actually imagine crazy shit, and that these people are not good at imagining shit. Mm-hmm. It's not good enough.
Right.
They want the real scary stuff.
So the reason they like violent thoughts is, first of all, they can't have them. So it's like this emotion that they're not used to having. But it's also, I was thinking, the violence, it's not just he's a forbidden thoughts lush. It's not just like a lust for forbidden thoughts. It's also a way of kind of being intimate with someone, you know, getting to share parts of each other that no one gets to see. Like, it's like, these are my secret violent
thoughts. Like the genitals.
Like, yeah, it's kind of like mind genitals.
Mind genitals.
Yeah.
I was reading that this is sort of a commentary on censorship.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because you
censor things and then... You know, at least
problems. Yeah, well, like Janeway said, you know, they're just going to sell it in back alleys, and they're censoring. Not, and they're not just censoring what they see; they're censoring what they think.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it's an argument for free access to internet pornography.
Yep.
Mm-hmm,
except it was in 1997, so not really internet. You know, sort of AOL, BBS's, Prodigy. CompuServe, that sort of thing.
So
Super VGA.
So, yeah, exactly. Errol's internet.
Slow ass porn.
But so after
knock knock, who's there? Pictures, slow ass porn.
Pictures of women in bikinis.
14.4K modem.
So
Sports Illustrated.
So after Tuvok goes
swimsuit edition.
So after Tuvok meets up with Gwil and they're talking about like, let's trade some thoughts, he sneaks in some more interrogation, but he's getting bold. So Gwil's like, there must be violent thoughts to be had in your shipmates, whether they want to share them or not. Yeah. After all, they couldn't stop a telepath from probing their minds, could they?
You shipping me?
And then Tuvok says, is that how you acquire your merchandise? And so immediately, like, Tuvok's inquiring, basically asking him where he got his shit.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to do that. So as like when you're a criminal doing criminal things and getting illegal crime things.
Unless you're getting high on your own supply, which is clouding your judgment because you're so desperate to have this Vulcan scary thoughts.
Right, yeah.
That you're willing to delude yourself into thinking he wants to give you those thoughts.
So Tuvok was like asking him where he got his stash from. And so Gwil was getting a little rattled by that. Because he goes like,
enough.
He didn't even.
Yeah, well,
enough.
That's enough.
Tuvok's the narc.
You know? Yeah, well, so right. Because like, yeah, Gwil kept pushing towards it. Like you said, because he wanted to get high so bad.
Slurp on that violent memory.
But Tuvok was being really bold with inquiring his information. Like I said, Gwil, he's lucky that Gwil was such an addict to violent thoughts, because any other person dealing in illicit substances would have recognized, like, wait, why are you asking me all these questions, you know? But and I had one random thought about that whole scene.
Let's hold that random thought, because I've been struggling to find
a segue
to the break. So that's a good opportunity. You have a random thought that you're going to hold in your brain. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we will talk about Dan's random thought.
This episode was called Random
Thought. Whoa.
We will be right back. All right, are you ready?
Are you ready?
Okay, let me slurp my drink, and then we can declare ourselves back from the break!
Okay, let's do it.
Let's do it! Let's close down the podcast.
Are you ready?
With the remaining
Are you ready?
The remaining chunk the remaining bits and pieces of discussion.
Tom, not so much a closing down as it is a burning out.
Tom. Burn out than to fade away.
Barbaric. The constabulary. Barbaric.
I'm digging that.
The constabulary. Barbaric. Constabulary.
Oh, wow. Hey, that's weird.
Constituents.
This was just a sort of like a side thought. When Gwyll and Tuvok first, you know, met in that.
This is the random thought.
Yes, in the interrogation scene, and then Gwyll turns around and walks down those stairs, and then Tuvok follows him. I was imagining what that whole area must look like.
Oh, I know, it's nuts.
It was like almost like an amusement park or some kind of outside. It was like some outdoor building style thing,
yeah,
you know, where it's like you're on some outside walkway and then you're going to some outside
it's
stairs.
It's like Morocco or something.
Yeah. It looked all awesome. I was like, I want to live in that place where you get to walk up and down stairs, but you're still like outside and you're doing like, it looked like a
it
Morocco.
Was, yeah,
that's
was,
a good way of putting it.
It was blowing my mind. It was like, where are these people living?
Yeah.
And where will they stay?
I'm glad that you agree with me, Jesse.
Where would I stay?
It's like they took a wacky office building and put a bunch of like shit in the hallway.
And they took the roof off. Yeah.
There was a lot of cool stuff. Like that odd overhead shot of Voyager.
Oh,
in
I like that. Yeah,
that was really cool.
I made a note of that too. I thought that was a really awesome shot.
It was really nice production design.
Yeah, it was a cool perspective how like you could tell they were in the atmosphere and there was the ground below
and
them.
And then that little town square that was obviously, I mean, super cramped and tiny. Because of the, it looked like a TV set, but at the same time, it had a nice, other than the human fruit, it had a nice alien vibe to it.
Human fruits?
The human looking people and the human fruit.
Human fruit.
But they were wearing non-human clothes. They were wearing some hilarious clothes.
Yeah. Hilarious clothes.
And then Neelix was all that you know, Tali and Neelix, that whole conversation was, I mean, it was creepy because it was Neelix, but
I've never seen so much blood before.
But it was, it was good. I was sad to see Tally die.
Yeah, it was, but it was worth it to like hilariously watch some old woman like be like, "You idiot!"
It was scary. It was like,
"This will teach you to watch where you're going."
Watch what
you're
doing, idiot!
You're like, "You idiot!"
It's like the electric grandma going crazy.
Oh no!
Oh wait, this was the one.
What? Hey, idiot! Watch what you're doing!
Watch what you're doing, idiot!
This will teach you to watch where you're going, idiot! You idiot! Hey, idiot! Watch what you're doing!
And the idiot stepped right on it. My foot hurt.
So, One Direction...
Why do you want me to tug on your whiskers?
One Direction...
That's a band, isn't it?
It occasionally is.
Mm. What about Boys for Now? Where's that from?
That's from Bob's Burgers.
Hello, burger children.
Bob Burger.
That's your name. It says it on the side.
That's your name. Bob Burger. Teddy, that's not my name. You think my name is Burger? That's right, Bob Burger.
Oh, we're getting the gigglies again.
The bleeps and the bloops.
The bleeps, the sweeps, and the creeps.
Try a multiphasic bioscan.
Raspberry.
Only one man would dare give me the raspberry. took me decades to get that joke. I bet many of you out there in the audience, I bet some of you don't get that joke. Raspberry is a slang term for going like
wait, like
raspberry.
Wait, you mean this noise?
I thought you were going to play one of the farts from last week. Oh. Was it last week that you were playing all those farts?
Was that last week?
I can't remember. I just remember because we normally get emails, but I guess I made such a big deal about how we get emails every time we do a fart show.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't think we got any emails.
Like,
about
come
the
on,
farts.
Guys.
A gas grenade.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's right. It was Spock's gas grenade.
A gas grenade.
Okay. That's what they call them.
A gas grenade.
No. I had an actual point. I had one of those occasionally, you know, we do.
A gas grenade.
Try one time per episode at least to have an insightful comment. I think we've already gotten a couple in earlier, but another one, I think, if I may be so bold.
But that is irrelevant.
If I may be so bold, is that a direction they didn't go with this that I thought maybe even if they couldn't do it entirely, it would have been cool to hint at it, is you have a culture that supposedly has removed the idea of having violent thoughts.
Yes.
Now, obviously, part of this story is that that's not entirely true, and that now there's an illicit trade in it.
True.
An analogy to the illicit drug market and how prohibition does not necessarily or eliminate the drug market and can cause problems of its own. But they did not also look at the idea of what does it do to a culture or an individual, you can go either way, when you don't have the violence in your mind, right? And do you, I don't know if I'm articulating this correctly, but what I mean to say is these people acted like basically normal folks. Mm-hmm. And then they just declared they had no like violent tendencies and you could violent thoughts. And you could believe from what information we had that probably most people mm-hmm. didn't really have that many violent thoughts. Mm-hmm. That it really was something that along with the Vulcans, they'd kind of started moving down that path like the Vulcans had gone down, right? Like mm-hmm. they talk about. But they didn't talk about how that affects somebody, because with Vulcans, the effect is they did the whole like we have no emotion thing. Mm-hmm. And it's very clear that their personalities are different than a normal human personality mm-hmm. because of that doing that. Mm-hmm. Or normal sentient creature brain style. That wasn't the case here. These people seem pretty normal. Yeah. Right? So I would have been interested if there was something else weird about them mm-hmm. because they didn't have the violence thing. Like were they super boring? Right?
Yeah. Well, kind of.
Yeah. They kind of seemed a little boring, but at the same time, that Tali gal was down to clown. So, like, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
Something else they could have included in the episode instead of that whole Paris arc that didn't arc anywhere.
Yeah. I would be interested to see if there was some other drawback. And you could have a whole philosophical debate as to like whether it's worth the cost. Make them really boring and be like, is it like worth having a boring life if you get rid of violent thoughts?
Well, Patrick, if there is no evil, how can there be good?
Yes, precisely. You could.
I'm putting my finger in the air to show that I'm making a point. I wish we had video sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, we could have video sometimes.
Well, Patrick, without evil, how can there be any good? How can there be?
What Dan did is he said the same thing he said before. And then he did the same thing with the finger. You still can't see it, of course, at home.
Well, Patrick, to that I would say...
He appears to be doing it third time.
How can you have pleasant thoughts if you don't have violent thoughts?
Well, that's a good question. It was not explored by this episode.
No, it wasn't. They should have made it a two-parter.
Yeah.
Or season long.
All right. So long time listeners will know this, but newer listeners may not be aware that Dan, when it comes to critiquing the show, the various Star Trek shows, he often has certain solutions that come top of mind. One of them is to make it a two-parter. Another one is to make it a season long arc. And another is to somehow relate it or purposely confuse it with the episode I Born from TNG.
I mean, he could have killed off the whole Borg race, but he didn't want to genocide them.
But Dan has this whole weird meta long-term like sort of in-joke that's only an in-joke for him.
That episode defines who Picard is. He could have destroyed the Borg, but he is so honorable.
You can see it in every episode of the show.
I don't know.
He was so honorable that he wouldn't do it. Now, one would say like, the point.
This one over here.
That one.
You brought it up. I'm just finishing it. The point is obviously like, yeah, you can't genocide no matter how badly you want to get rid of something. But on a practical side of things, you can't help but think like, you know, maybe he should have killed him. Maybe he should have genocided him. But that's who Jean-Luc Picard...
I agree. I wish we had video because the physicality you put into this argument, I think it goes a long way to supporting your argument.
But that defines who Picard is and how he's so honorable. He doesn't even care about what's practical.
If you would like us to discuss the episode I Born,
we still haven't done that yet.
We've never done it, and it
might as well.
We either should do it now or we should just never do it.
I can't believe that.
It should be like an ongoing thing. But if you would, you just write in.
That can be the first Patreon episode.
Write in at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. And let us know if you'd like us to discuss iBorg, or if it's funnier if we never discuss iBorg. We'll tally up the votes.
Or if it's just on our Patreon.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
That's ridiculous.
Yes, okay. Random thoughts. Lots of random thoughts this episode. How about we frame it that way? We'll frame all the TMNT and all the other nonsense. We'll frame it as like, haha, random thoughts is a really sophisticated and clever meta joke.
Let's frame
it. We'll frame it that way. How's that? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Good. Let's do it.
Good. Aggravated violent thoughts. Engrammatic purge.
Yeah, were you going to go somewhere with that?
No, I'm just saying things that they said that were said in the episode. Mary no longer have violent thoughts. Bullshit.
It's impossible.
Exactly. It is. I think it is. It's sort of impossible.
And then they're totally unequipped to handle these violent thoughts. Yeah. They just start fucking stabbing and beating. Well, but
it's one of the differences. Another thing that I thought was underexplored is the difference between Vulcans Vulcans are like, no, we have the violent thoughts.
Oh, yeah, they
but
do.
We squish them the fuck down.
Yeah, we put it in our stomach.
They have the most violent thoughts.
We develop a whole complicated business to control it.
They pull a Hank Hill and just push them all down and don't let them out.
Right.
But these folks are like, no, we've just gotten rid of them. We've gotten rid of the concept of violent thoughts.
Jesse, to your point, there was an episode of Married with Children that actually explored this idea. Al, who was like, the implication of this episode is that he had a very...
He sold shoes.
Al, the implication...
By the seashore.
The implication of that episode was that Al
he
had
was a vendor of shoes.
Okay, stop.
I just wanted to clarify.
Okay.
He didn't sell shoes. He sold shoes.
Al, women's shoes.
Now I got it.
You get what I'm saying, Jesse? He sold shoes.
He sold them.
Okay. Yes. I just want to clarify.
The implication in that episode was that Al and his family lived an unhealthy lifestyle, and they ate a bunch of shit, and, it was terrible. But then there was this super health nut.
But they were still a family at the end of the day.
Okay. God damn it.
Okay.
But then there on this episode there was this super like health nut guy right on TV, and they met with that health nut guy, and the way they destroyed him was by feeding him hamburgers. And the point being, of course, is that if you live a pure lifestyle, any kind of impurity will fuck you up more.
Right, exactly.
It's kind of like back to King of the Hill when Bobby Hill was put in that hot box, and like that the hot box that destroyed most men. Bobby Hill was fine because he's just used to lounging around and being all unhealthy. So like more unhealthy, more bad for you shit is just kind of like. He may not feel the same highs as someone who lives a perfect lifestyle, but he doesn't feel the lows as intensely either.
So, didn't they say like even Hank was like Bobby Hill's a lump? Like he just can take it.
Is this like Ken Mellor where it's like it's because of all the psychic intrusions? Some people can handle the psychic intrusions better.
Yeah, well, the people who are more used to handling something are more equipped to deal with it.
Yeah.
And so if you never handle violent thoughts, then when you get one, it's going to fucking blow your mind.
Right.
Same like with food. If you eat healthy food all the time, next time you eat a hamburger, it's probably going to fuck you up
a little
bit.
And if you try violence yourself, you're going to you're going to break all the rules of,
Dude, when that, speaking of violence, when that dude was like bashing, at first he was going ham on some like shit. And I was like, whoa, he's fucking that dude up. But then he was like, oh, he's just beating up some pots. No big deal. And then he started beating on some dude. It's like, whoa.
Yeah. Or, you're going to go terrible. Like kicking people in the balls and shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
you idiot. Oh.
Kicking people. Are you saying that if I kick... Are you saying that if I kick you in the balls enough, you will stop feeling it?
Well, no, I'm saying that like in societies where there's violence that's normalized or whatever, you don't go around kicking people in the balls. You have rules about, fighting people. Mm. You hit above the belt.
Right. Do Klingons, Klingons have honorable fights? They probably don't kick each other in the balls.
No, they don't. I don't think they do. Yeah, they have honorable fights or whatever their concept of honor is.
Didn't Tuvok called like B'Elanna's like... Her species of Klingon barbaric.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I wrote down the exact line, but I did make a note. Yeah, primitive Klingon psyche, classic Vulcan racist thing. And again, I love Tuvok.
Oh, yeah. And
Tuvok is the most Vulcan of all the Vulcans. Mm-hmm. And what goes along with that is being horrifically and openly racist to your friends.
Yeah. She all goes,
primitive
thanks,
Klingon
I
psyche.
Think.
Yeah, right. Thanks, I think. No, you don't think thanks. Come on, B'Elanna. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Primitive.
B'Elanna's on it.
Eat any good books, Link?
Well, then there was the part where him and Namira was like, why aren't you talking telepathically? And he's like, oh, well, I didn't know that Vulcans regularly spoke telepathically. I knew they could, but I didn't know it was like regular everyday conversation was telepathic.
Yeah, and I think that it's an idea that floats back and forth in Star Trek a little, the degree of telepathy in Vulcans. But there's certainly some...
It's like the degree they're willing to admit.
Telepathy.
Telepaths.
Well, when we were talking about how the idea of telepaths...
She was a wonderful young woman.
She seemed like such a pleasant young woman.
I can't remember. It was within the last few weeks, we were talking about how fucked up telepathy is and how often Star Trek is just, and other sci-fi is just like, oh yeah, they're telepathic. That's the characteristic.
Yeah, right.
Of the character.
Yeah.
But this episode was like, no, it's like, there's all sorts of problems.
Yeah.
If you have a society.
What about telekinesis?
It was interesting though.
Not quite as invasive.
They did have that clever thing where Tuvok was mostly talking, but it was when he chose to use telepathy or not. Once was in responding to her, and another time he used it was when he was sort of insulting the crew. He was basically saying, if the people on this ship were as cultured as you and
if
I.
It says, if all species, when he's talking about the brig, and she's like, forgive me, Tuvok, but that seems barbaric. And he goes, telepathically, he says, if all species were as enlightened as yours and mine, there would be no need for prisons. Ironically, her ship wasn't as enlightened as she thought it was.
And there was that great callback at the end of the episode.
Yes.
When he was like, he was confined to the brig.
Yes.
Boom! Mic drop. Slam.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It was a
Vulcan's got some kind of prison.
That was awesome.
Vulcan loot drop. You know, where he just like takes the Vulcan loot and he smashes it on the ground.
Is that a reference to something?
You know, like there's a mic drop, except you can also do like you can smash like
the
a guitar.
Vulcan loot
but he
drop.
Takes like the Vulcan loot. Or he takes, you know, that
what are
that,
you referring
that rack of bells where it's all like
I'm sorry. I thought you meant loot as an LOOT.
You meant like in a sack of treasure?
Yeah, that's Vulcans with their sacks of treasure.
But Vulcans have some kind of prison kind of reprogramming kind of shit, right?
Yeah, yeah. They've got.
Because what about that? Spock's brother was in some kind of prison.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. What would be, in that case, it would be a Ferengi loot sack, I guess. And a Vulcan. There's a difference between a Vulcan loot sack and a Ferengi loot sack. Loot drop. Loot. Did you say sack? A sack of loot?
I did not say
you
sack.
Said sack.
No, I just said a Vulcan loot, but you interpreted it as Vulcan loot.
Oh, because it was a sack.
Then you
got all hung up on sack.
I never meant that to happen.
Oh, sure you didn't.
Confined to the brig. Confined to the brig.
Yeah. Okay, who did we not talk enough about in this episode? We talked a little bit about Seven of Nine.
I wanted to mention real quick, like at the end, did you notice that at the end she was wearing high heels? Not only was she wearing, like when she went into Janeway's office, not only is she wearing high heels,
like, but how can we make this actress as uncomfortable as possible?
And the high heels were the same color as the rest of her outfit, like a purple. Not only that, I think she was wearing, like what are those pajamas kids wear with footies, you know, where the feet are covered?
Oh right, like all footie style.
Yeah, I think she had footies on her, like her spandex leotard thing, because like not only did her high heels look the same color as the rest of her outfit, it didn't look like there was a break between the high heels and her leotard or whatever you call it. So I think there were footies on it. I think Jolene Blaylock fucking oh my God, why am I blanking on her name?
Jerry Ryan.
Oh my fuck. I'm sorry. I meant that.
Jerry Ryan.
That sounded.
We'll cut that part out.
Jerry Ryan. Right. What I meant to say was.
Footies, Jerry Ryan wearing footies.
I mean, I can't believe I forgot her name.
Jerry Ryan.
So.
Jerry can be a boy's name as well.
Yeah,
and
so,
Ryan is a common first name for a boy.
Yeah, so
she's got two first names.
So I'm wondering if Jerry Ryan had to put on high heels first, and then over top of that, put a leotard starting at the feet that went over her being, but also over her high heels. You see what I'm saying? Like she had footies, except she was. It's like if a kid had footies, pajamas with footies,
pajamas.
Pajamas with footies, except they were wearing shoes under...
Pajamas?
If they were wearing shoes underneath the pajamas with footies. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying?
I like to do like the night shirt.
Do you know
like
what I'm saying?
With like a robe.
I know what you're saying.
So she was wearing high heels, but then she had her leotard over top of the high heels, and it was all part of... I think that's
like
what was
a
going
90s
on.
Thing.
It was a weird looking kind of outfit they gave her.
Because of her magic outfit was designed to slurp healing juices or Borg nanites or something around. I remember
she was full of nanites. As I said earlier.
Yeah. Were you still talking about 7 to 9?
Well, yeah, because I was just going to make the one comment. We were touched on it a little bit before about how she's so direct. She makes such a great outside perspective character, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, Spock and Data and many others have served in that role. Odo, you know, there are lots of people who... part of the character's purpose is to provide a non-human or a non-Federation or non-American in a meta sense, you know, sort of non-Western perspective. And I think that Seven of Nine is
that just... Kelpie guy on Discovery.
yes,
Kelpie guy.
Saru. He's talking about Saru.
Oh yeah, Jesse was right. It's not Kelpian. It's not Saru.
It's Saru.
Yeah, Patrick. You said Saru.
He's got hooves.
It's okay.
Patrick said Saru.
He's got hooves.
Hey, look at my hooves. What's this from? Look at my hooves. My hooves. Look at my hooves. Yeah, what's that from?
I knew he would do that. I did that. I said that on purpose. I said the thing about the hooves on purpose.
You guys know what that's from?
Dan would make reference to that.
I think I used to.
I know what that's from.
It's what is it?
It's from that movie.
You don't remember what the movie's called?
I remember the movie.
What is it?
It's from that movie with Tom Green.
Yeah, you don't remember what it's called.
Oh,
yeah.
Tom Green.
Yeah. Freddy Got Fingered.
Oh, you do remember. You were just pulling a fast one.
Well, you know, I thought we'd banter about it with a little bit. We got a few minutes to spare.
we're padding it out.
Random thoughts. Ooh, we did it on purpose. Ha ha.
That is unacceptable.
It was the plan the whole time. Random thoughts. Ha ha. It's a joke on the title. Ha ha.
I thought.
I already made that joke.
Ugnaught. Astronaut. Cosmonaut. Russia. The Earth. In the universe. How big is the universe? Oh no, it's as big as itself. What does that mean? I don't know. Dude. Thoughts.
Dan, you gotta go take.
I'm
go to
spinning
one of
out here.
You gotta go to one of them Ken Mellor workshops.
Oh, you're right. I bet I'd be a star student.
You very well might be.
The whole thing about the telepathy, and I don't know why Janeway and B'Elanna were so like willing to participate
in
getting their fucking mind probed. Like,
yeah, it was silly.
That was silly. Like, I would be there. Like,
and Janeway was even like, wait.
Yeah.
Let me get this straight. Like, wait a second. And she's like, okay. Right. She was like sitting down, and then the lady all pushed her head back, and Janeway was all like, my word.
Let me get this straight. Yes, they collided accidentally. Maybe we can poke a few holes in the chief examiner's case.
Are you saying it's a crime to think about that?
Settled for $250.
Let me get this straight.
The crew seems to be making the most of our stay.
Why were you beating that man?
Try a multiphasic bioscan.
Wait a minute.
Let me get this straight. Settled for $250.
I would never volunteer for any kind of mind probe ever. They so casually do that. I don't want people knowing what's going on up here, man.
And they're already telepathic, so they can already know what's going on up there. They're saying now we're going to record what's going on.
And they actually admit in the episode they reference this, because when Tuvok does a mind meld with B'Elanna, she's like, I don't want you knowing what's going on there. And he's like, don't worry, I'm only going to focus on the important parts.
Be all specific.
So they even admit that probing someone's mind is very intimate, and it's the second time I've used that word this episode.
Intimate.
Yeah. So I was talking about how sharing violent thoughts is not just a lust for violent thoughts, but it's also a form of intimacy to share these kind of forbidden. It's almost like mind sex. It's like you're sharing these forbidden thoughts with people.
Intimate.
Earl's intimate. So they even reference this in the episode, and this mind probe, they're going all over the place. I would never volunteered for the investigation, and through volunteering for an investigation, B'Elanna got arrested anyway. Yeah. So, which is also ridiculous, you know. And Namira was being really rough in that interview. I don't remember what she said. She was like, she was basically like, tell me, you know, she's like, she started getting
aggressive.
She was being really aggressive.
More aggressive with B'Elanna than with Neelix and Janeway.
And they did that trick where they like,
she was a Klingon.
Yeah. The classic. I know what you're talking about. The editing where they show the interrogator
saying something. Then they show the person answering. Then they go back to the interrogator.
Which has the effect of keeping the audience off their feet.
When they show the image of the interrogator questioning the person, then they show the person answering the question. And they go back to the interrogator asking the question, and they go back to the person answering the question, except it's a different person answering the same question, but slightly off. And then they go back and they keep showing the same interrogator, but shooting back to it. And you never know when it's going to go to the next person.
Keeps the audience on their toes.
Yeah, it's always fun. It's not new. It's a fun thing. It's always fun, though.
It's a classic filming technique.
Wait a minute.
It's the magic of television.
It was
television.
It was a good episode of Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. All right.
Janeway was all. Janeway was all side eye in that chair when she was in it. When she was like in that chair, she was
Janeway,
like,
what's going on?
Well, this was classic Voyager in that it was a great concept. It was largely well executed, well written, very well acted. Yeah. But it also had a few weird plot holes in it.
But I enjoyed it. It was I thought it was an enjoyable episode.
I really like this episode.
And I really I liked it, even though Gwil
I think decades since I'd seen this episode. It really was a long time since I'd seen this.
Even though Gwil went from being
yes. Good. This is the side you only wanted to know.
To
I'm sure you do. No, please. How would we do that? Any other questions?
Even though
a flat affect.
Yeah, I still enjoyed his character. There's something about his character I just like. He looked like BJ Novak to me.
Yeah, a little bit.
I thought he looked like BJ Novak.
Well, and I also thought the character Tali was great because again, she gets killed fairly swiftly in the episode, but like. There's an impact.
You idiot!
You feel the impact. Okay. All right.
What were you saying?
Yeah, I said you feel the impact even though you only saw the character in a few scenes. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I thought was funny was during the mind reading scene with Neelix, that there's just that extended scene from Neelix's memory, which the context suggests that we're just looking at what Neelix was just staring at this woman for an extended period of time as she slowly placed fruits on a shelf. Somewhat inexplicably placed the fruits on a shelf.
I'm gonna make a pie, and then the next thing you know, he's getting his whiskers pulled on.
Yeah. I know we're finishing up, but I briefly wanted to mention the thought scene. Okay, there was Gwil evil thoughts, violent thoughts. I marked every scene that they showed of those, the thought scene. There were seven scenes for Gwil's thoughts. There was a hand with a knife. This was when Tuvok was mind probing Gwil, or Gwil was showing Tuvok his thoughts. Mm-hmm. There was a hand with a knife.
It was all stuff from other Paramount
productions. There was some kind of
stuff they had owned copyright.
There was some kind of demon monster biting a hand.
Yeah.
Someone zapped away by green gunk. There was a dog being all toothy.
Yes.
There was some random
woof, bow, wow.
There was some random face in agony. There was riot police. Why would Gwil have like riot police up in his brain? Where would he get that thought
from? That's a good question.
It's a riot.
And then at the end there was some shit blowing up. Now Tuvok's thoughts, there were eight of them. Mm. There was the crew was being followed by some monster point of view shot from a monster.
Monster.
Then some pale melty monster that looked like the one that was biting the hand in Gwil's thoughts. There was that monster. He looked like that other monster. So they both had that same looking monster. Then there was some dude on fire with
monster.
There was some dude on fire with melting skin. I don't know where that was from. There was some kind of fleshy arm looking. It looked like a cross between a fleshy arm and like a landscape. It was all horizontal. It was weird. I didn't know what it was. Right. Then there was that monster again. This time he was all sideways. Then there was a planet exploding. Right. Then there was like, it looked like a predator.
It was the predator,
Or was it a Nausicaan? It was a predator, wasn't
it?
It
looked like the predator.
I think
it could have been a Nausicaan.
Then there was,
I don't remember, and I didn't pay close enough attention.
And then the last one was just some dirt blowing up, which might have been left over.
That's a Nausicaan? Is that what you said, Jesse? A Nausicaan?
No, I wish I said that.
And then there was...
Well, then I said that.
The last one was some dirt blowing up, which could have just been an extension of the planet leftover planet exploding. I don't know. I don't know where all those things came from, but they were pretty freaky. Well,
Jesse explained that they had got it from other Paramount, Film
Library. Right out of the can.
I'm curious which ones they got it from, because some of them were very obviously from Star Trek.
Well, you send the production assistant, you're like, hey, go find us some ridiculous shit.
Yeah, I know, and I'm just...
But it's got to be stuff we can use.
Way back, pick up a bunch of sandwiches.
Get a bunch of sandwiches.
No, I realize that I'm just, like, just for my own edification, I'm curious what they actually specifically pulled it from. Like I said, some of them look like the alien point of view shot looked like it was from an episode of
another thing. Perhaps
the one with the alien point of view shot looked like it was from a Voyager episode.
But perhaps there is a resource online that one of our good listeners can point us towards that provides these details, or the other option is that we could look these up on our own, and we might do that for fun.
Perhaps I don't know if that information is available.
Well, me neither, but if it is, if it is available, or if you have any other reason to contact us, you can write to us at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
That's right.
And you can also go to our website, www.itsgotstartrek.com.
It's a good website. Mm-hmm.
You got all our podcasts there, and you can pick the categories. You can pick a show.
It's a library.
Yeah, it's like there's all sorts of stuff to do there. And you'll find out stuff early on the old website.
So the Mari were intolerant of the culture on the Enterprise, and most of the Enterprise also thought the Mari was sucky. Then Seven was like critical of the Enterprise culture, and then Neelix was critical of Borg culture. They're all
is Voyager not Enterprise?
I'm sorry. You know what's interesting is they call it Voyager and the Enterprise. They don't call it the Voyager.
Except for on Enterprise, they call Enterprise Enterprise and not the Enterprise. Right. But in all other instances of the Enterprise, it's the Enterprise.
And it's not the Voyager.
It's not generally
but
the Voyager.
I was saying, okay, that's what I meant as Voyager. But this episode was, there was a lot of tolerance of people being critical of each other. Like Neelix of Borg and Neelix of Seven and Seven of Neelix. Yeah. And then Seven of Voyager, Mari of Voyager, Voyager of Mari and Neelix of Borg.
What was that whole nonsense you were doing earlier where you're like, I don't remember what it was. It was very funny. You were all
like, you're talking about your mind to my mind. When you get thoughts from someone, it was your mind to my mind, but then when it's my mind to your mind, it's giving them thoughts.
Your mind to my mind. Your mind to my thoughts. Your thoughts. To your thoughts.
So stupid. Okay, we really do have to end the podcast now. So,
telepaths.
Website. If you want to send us a recording, it's got StarTrek.com. /record/record Facebook, YouTube.
You don't say.
And it's got Star Trek on the social media.
I did say.
That's all there is to it. Next week, who knows what we'll discuss.
Nobody knows.
Go check out the website or social media.
Of course, say no more.
Dan's algorithm will tell us what to watch next week, and we'll figure that out within a few days. So, that's it.
There's nothing more to discuss.
Okay, good. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
Neelix?
Hmm?
Why do you want me to tug on your whiskers?
Excuse me?
That is what you're thinking, isn't it? That you'd like me to tug on your whiskers?
Well, as a matter of fact...
I'd love to. Do you have time to wait until I close?
Yes, I think I can rearrange my schedule.